Well, brothers, of course, I do owe you an apology for being absent in my body, but for sure I am more than present in the spirit. I'm actually with you virtually, and I was very happy to hear the brothers' review of Itero, and also their report to you concerning the Lord's move in Ethiopia and also in Africa. It's something for us to really rejoice in for what the Lord has done. Now, this morning, I'm going to take from now roughly until noon for the second session, and then we'll take a 15-minute break, and then I will have the third session again with you all the way to 1 o'clock. In the second session, I'll be covering with you the three lessons for the November family training. But for this session, I like to continue to apply the burden that came forth in Addis Ababa, and that is this whole matter related to the Lord's propagation, or the propagation of this resurrected, ascended, and all-inclusive Christ, as the development of the kingdom of God. I like to apply it to us generally, but more specifically, I like to apply this to us here in Northern California. If there would be a little bit time left, either this session or the next, I surely would like to say something more about the conference center that that the Lord is leading us to acquire. It is very clear to me, brothers, that this burden of propagation is of the Lord. And I say this not only regarding the recovery as a whole. I especially speak this concerning these United States. Let me just show you right now a graph that would speak loud and clear to all of us why this burden is urgent, this burden is overdue, this burden is very, very strong in us. So I'm now going to show you a chart. You just keep looking at the screen. I will be out, and you just look at the screen here. Chris? Yes? Okay. All right. I don't hear you. I just assume that you can see the screen. Okay. This screen shows the average growth rate of the Lord's recovery in the United States. Okay, so we start in 1962 when Brother Lee was led by the Lord to start his ministry and the work of the Lord's recovery in the West, taking the United States and more specifically Los Angeles as his base. So 1962. Now, of course, at that time, there was a small church, mostly Chinese saints in San Francisco. There's also something like that in New York City as well, but the size is small. And those were not places that were started by Brother Lee, per se, or those were not places that he had chosen as the base for his ministry. It was L.A. So I think it would be appropriate to use that as the baseline. Now, we don't have an accurate record of how many saints were actually there in that first church in L.A., but I think it should be not far from the number 30, give or take. And by the way, many of you may not realize that most of that 30 of that band of saints who started the new church life in LA were actually Chinese. They were immigrants from the mainland, from Taiwan, to this country. But from 1962, you can see this graph all the way to roughly the middle of 1970s. The middle of the 70s. The growth rate had gone from 30 to, I would say, by 1974 or so, to at least 3,000 to 4,000. And by the time of 1976, when many of us migrated along with Brother Lee into Orange, from LA to Orange County, that number we should have hit in the 4,000 to 5,000 range nationwide. Numbers, and using 30 as a baseline, the increase, the rate of increase or growth rate was, here it says 44%, but really I think it may be a little bit more than that if we use the number 4,000 to 5,000 saints. Maybe closer to 50% or more. And that was the growth rate in the first, say, 14 years, 12 to 14 years of the Lord's recovery. Phenomenal. Phenomenal. It's unbelievable growth. From 30 people to 4,000 or 5,000 people in a span of 15 years or so. Now, we did not have many accurate data points, but in 1985, we did do a kind of worldwide census of the Lord's recovery. And today, there's actually a publication of those statistics. And we had we actually, by that time, had 8,500 saints in the United States. This is not even counting, not counting Canada, 8,500 saints and about 100 churches. So from the mid-70s to the mid-80s, let's say in 10 years' time, our growth was from 4,000 or 5,000 to 8,500. Well, what is that growth rate? That growth rate actually dropped very, very much. Now, I don't know how accurate this 6% is, but you can see from 30 to 4,000 or 5,000 in 14 years, and then from 4,000 or 5,000 to 8,500 in the next 10 years, it is a steep drop. We have to actually verify what the exact percentage is. I'm not very certain that this 6% is right, but it is a steep drop. But now let's go beyond that. From 1985, well, let me say a few more words about those 10 years. Since the mid-70s, from the mid-70s to the mid-80s, something, a couple of terrible things happened to impact our growth. Basically to reduce our growth substantially. One is a huge rebellion that not only caused us to lose heart and to take away our momentum, but actually as far as typical American saints are concerned, you know, because in the early years, that's all we gained almost exclusively in the first 12 to 14 years, Caucasian Americans primarily. And in these next 10 years or so, I think it's safe to say we were in the negative growth territory. In other words, as far as typical Americans are concerned, not only we were not gaining them, we were losing them. From that rebellion in the late 70s, we lost hundreds of young people we have gained in the prior, all through in the early part of the 70s. From that time onwards, a huge, great opposition from Christianity arose. Evil books, slandering. We didn't have the internet, but articles coming out of the woodwork to oppose us. And that's a time when we were labeled as a cult. And that's also the time, 1980, that we were forced to file suit to clear our name. And two suits, in fact. But suffice it to say that that opposition really took the wind out of our sails. As a result, more or less, we went underground. We lost our boldness. We became very, very tentative. In my words, acquired a bunker mentality. The whole world was against us. Don, can you see and hear me? Okay, all right. So thank you. Now, I don't know where you lost me. But I was saying that in those years of the 80s and going forward all the way to the 90s, the bulk of our increase actually came from the Chinese direction through the Chinese-speaking work. I can say that because I was involved in that. The gaining of the typical local Americans more or less came to a standstill. And so very much because of that, Brother Lee had this feeling we have entered into a stage of dormancy. A kind of a winter time. And because of that, he was led by the Lord to return to Taiwan in 1984. And today we know, because in the writings, if you look at the elders' trainings, for example, in his speaking in 1985, in 1986, he said this, that the Lord led him to go back to Taiwan to study, to restudy the scriptures, to restudy our ways, our church life, the ways that we should serve, the way we should meet, all over again. To find a way to have a breakthrough out of this winter, out of this dormant situation. And so he said his plan was not to remain in Taiwan, but to come back to the U.S. and to carry that out in the U.S. And so that he did. The Lord led him to the God-ordained way, or what we used to call the new way, with those steps of begetting, of feeding, begetting new ones, sinners to be sons, to become members of the body, of feeding and nourishing them by visiting them and having appointments and being with them. And then thirdly, to bring them into the home meetings and the small groups, to perfect them, to teach them, to cause them to function. And then finally, to prophesy, to build up the church. And all this was with a view to raise up a universal priesthood of the gospel, where all the saints will be a gospel priest. This is according to Romans 15:16. Actually, I can use 2 chapter 15:16 to almost summarize this so-called new way. One is John 15:16. It says, I have sent you forth to go and to bear fruit, and that your fruit would remain, that we would have the full joy. That's John 15:16 on fruit bearing. The other is Romans 15:16, Paul saying that I am a priest of the gospel to offer the Gentiles or the nations sanctified by the Holy Spirit. So if you put these two together, that would be the heart of the God-ordained way right there. So that is what he found, and that is what he began to work out in Taiwan in a small way on that island, to gospelize, truthize, and churchize Taiwan. But we know Taiwan is very small, and whatever success one may make in Taiwan will have limited impact globally. So Brother Lee's burden was to come back here to work it out in the U.S. Why the U.S.? Because the U.S. is the center of the recovery on the earth. And Brother Lee actually called it the base of the Lord's recovery on the earth. And so he must work it out in this country so that it can have worldwide impact, this God-ordained way, to meet and to serve and to build up the church, to be the body of Christ. So he did that. But very unfortunately, the enemy came in. You know, whenever the Lord wants to move, the devil, you be sure, will come in to try to frustrate it. And he did it again, this time by raising another and rebellion, and this time a worse one. It's worldwide. It is not only in the U.S., but it is in the Far East, especially in Hong Kong and other places, and then on the also in Europe, in Germany. It's a global rebellion, and that rebellion was so strong that Brother Lee, when he came back, he had to devote much of his time to rescue the situation here, to stabilize the churches, to restore the saints, to speak the truth concerning God's economy, etc. So he has to do that. But even while he was doing that, he did a few things, because in his heart, he was still looking for a way to break through, to work out this new way in the West, in the Western Hemisphere. Number one, he raised up the full-time training in 1989. And that full-time training become a forum or a place, a venue, for him to continue his training in the West of the God-ordained way. So when he first came here in the late 80s, he began to speak very much on the God-ordained way as a continuation of his speaking in Taiwan. But in 1993, he began his final effort to have that push, and he gave a specific training for the U.S. This is not for Taiwan. This is for the U.S. specifically, for 3 years, using the full-time training as a venue. And that is called the Vital Group Training. So today, brothers, I want you to know the Vital Group Training is the U.S. version or the Western version of the God-ordained way, new way, realized and practiced in the Far East, mainly in Taiwan, the Vital Group. So it has specific meaning, particular meaning for us and application for us in the West. You go and read those three books on the Vital Group training, three books from 1993 to 1996, 6 months before Brother Lee passed away. And especially if you read the first book, the first chapters, you will see Brother Lee's burden was to gain Caucasians, the typical Americans. That underscore his burden for the Vital Groups. And so he did everything he could. He was old, he was aged, he was sickly, he was burdened later on to release the high peak of divine truth. He did not have the energy nor the time to lead the charge. So he passed that burden to some of us, his co-workers, I being one of them. And in his presence, he said this. He said, brothers, co-workers, you go and work this out because I don't have the energy. You go and work it out. You need to forget everything and work this out. This has everything to do with a coming revival. This has everything to do with a new recovery. This has everything to do with the Lord's coming back. And if you don't go and work it out, he said, you are not my co-worker. That's the word he said to some of us. And I would like to testify to you, brothers, that today that charge is still ringing in my ears. That charge is why I wake up every day. That charge is why I run around all over the place. Because I owe my senior co-worker something here to discharge his burden, to work out what he told us to work out. What does that mean? That means in Brother Lee's lifetime until his passing in 1997, there were reasons for this. We've been through this huge rebellion. We were in the ICU, you know, in the hospital, you know, with tubes all over the place. We were not in any condition, you may say, to work it out. So that's where we were. About Brother Lee, however, did something else to work that out in the West, and that is Russia. So 1991, we went to Russia. And in Russia, we gained the Caucasians, the real people from the Caucasus Mountains, right? And using the God-ordained way. And you may say there is a success there, but it is not in the United States. It's in Russia. But the Lord still did something, and it became a great comfort to our brother. Great comfort to him. But in 1996, he said, I have said all that I can say. If you do not do it, I will not say a word anymore. And true to his own word, the last 6 months, he stopped talking about the God-ordained way. He finished his speaking on the high peak truths, and he went to be with the Lord. Now, brothers, in the next 20 years, 21 years now, 1997 to 2018, 21 years, here we are. Now, I go back to the chart. Is the chart still on, brothers? Can I show you the chart again? All right. So here it is. Here's the chart. From 1985, to 2018, you know how many years that is? That's 33 years. Guess what the growth rate is? From 8,500 people, today we're 28,000 people. Now, that is actually being generous. That probably includes Canada. If we don't include Canada, it will be less than that. We would be in the 24,000 range or something like that. And what is the growth rate in these 33 years? The chart here says 3.75%. I need to verify that, but I will tell you it's enormously low. Now you say, well, praise the Lord. We went from 8,500 to 28,000. Praise the Lord. Well, yes, praise the Lord. But look at the growth rate, the rate of growth. It's a anemic 4%. It's almost a flat line, you know, almost a flat line. Now, in these years, in these 20 years, we started the campus work. We now have full-timers. We have 60 full-time teams in U.S. and Canada. We did something. We have GTCA. It's not like we didn't do anything. We had migration. But brothers, and this result in some growth. But brothers, the growth rate is what I'm concerned with, is anemic. So here we are, 2018. I better go back to my screen here. Brothers, this is where we are. This is where we are. I almost would like to see these 21 years, which I would like to tell you, were not without the Lord's blessing. I'm not here, brothers, just being a pessimist. I actually worship the Lord every day for what he did in these last 20 years. The Lord kept his recovery. The recovery is still on the earth. Not only so, the co-workers have been blended together into one globally. We have almost a kind of one accord among us that is even stronger than when Brother Lee was with us. Even look at what the Lord has done, even in Northern California in these last 5 years, is somewhat unprecedented. We have the FTTA built up, you know. We have the GTCA. We have new churches. Today we have 300 churches instead of 100. Good things are happening. We have Europe has opened up. You know, we're in, now in Germany. We're in many, all the major countries in Europe. The globe is, the Lord has spread. And today we have less opposition, frontally at least, from Christianity. And even some of the key opposers now have today become our friends, like Hank Hanegraaff. These are all the Lord's doing, and I'm happy. I rejoice. But brothers, I would like to tell you, there's the other side. The other side is our shortage. Our shortage. Brothers, we still have not entered into a new revival. Our growth has been very, very slow, too slow. Ratio, R-A-T-I-O, of the representation, ethnic representation, the recovery is lopsided. This country, don't forget, 70% are still white, including the Caucasian white and the Hispanic white. There are now close to 20% of this country's population being Hispanic. Now including that one, including the Hispanic white. But how many Spanish-speaking people are there in the recovery? The Asian, how about the blacks? African-Americans, 12%. What about that representation in the recovery? We're far, far from that. Brothers, I'm telling you the facts, the situation. And so from this angle, from this perspective, brothers, we are not where we should be. Recall Brother Lee back in the 70s, early 70s, with that kind of a growth rate. And he looked at the, he extended that trajectory. So that in 20 to 30 years, he projected that we would be, the Lord's recovery in the U.S. would be in the hundreds of thousands. Hundreds of thousands. Because that never happened. Today, and in those days, the U.S. population is 200 million, maybe. Today, 325 million. Our number of 20-some thousand, less than 30,000, is pitifully small. So what am I trying to say, brothers? I'd like you to feel the same way as I do, that these 20 years, maybe 20 parenthetical years, where the Lord did something without Brother Lee's presence, still to advance and even to spread the Lord's recovery globally in so many continents. But one thing we still have not seen the Lord done, and that is to have a prevailing, impactful, high morale, numeric testimony of his recovery in the US of A. And the USA today is still the base and the center of the Lord's recovery. All eyes are on the US. You may not realize. Africa, they look at the US. South America, they look at the US. Europe, they look at the US. We have a responsibility collectively, the churches, the work in the US, whether we like it or not. I'm not in this political realm whether US is exceptional or not exceptional. I'm not here to quote Trump, make America great again. But brothers, I will tell you, I want to tell you the world situation that dictates the move of the Lord. The move of the Lord in many ways would mirror the world situation. This president of ours, Trump, he's no moral leader of us. I know that. But in a way, the Lord used him, put him in the White House. Nobody voted him in. God appointed him wherever he pleased. And his campaign promise was to restore the USA standing in the world stage, the worldwide respect for this country economically, politically, in every way. That's the outward thing. But brothers, I like to tell you, I just cannot sleep and go on just or be contented with the Lord's recovery's condition. Brothers, I really have this feeling, I hope you would feel the same way, that after these 20 wonderful years, it's time for the Lord to do his work in America, according to what our brother has seen and was burdened for. Imagine today in the United States, instead of 28,000 or whatever, we have 280,000 saints. Instead of 300 churches we have here, we have 1,500 churches. Now, let me tell you, that will be a different story. That kind of number, that kind of scale, would automatically have a kind of impact, not only in this country, in society, but worldwide. And brothers, the whole God-ordained way and all this is with that view in mind, so that we won't perpetually just live in a half-dormant situation, in a half-lukewarm situation. That the kind of confidence, the kind of boldness, the kind of courage, the kind of morale, the kind of faith that we once had, bringing about the kind of morale, high morale, and great impact the Lord's recovery has in society. Like in the first 14 years, would return, but not only return, but we would supersede that. Now, I know some of you may say, whoa, that's a tall order. We need to do that. A happy church life here. That's good enough. Brothers, I am very concerned if we think that way. I told the brothers yesterday, these story that I consider a warning of the British brethren. Once upon a time in the Isle of Great Britain or in the UK, back in the 19th century, the Lord raised them up, the Plymouth Brethren. The light, the truth was phenomenal, gushing forward, pouring out, you know, like the Niagara Falls, the light. Today, we still stand on their shoulders, although they're not widely known, the Brethren, but the impact they have on Western Christianity is Panton said this, or Pember, I forgot. He said the impact of the Brethren is greater, spiritually speaking, greater than that of the Reformation. I concur with that. But what's my point, brothers? Where are the Brethren today? Brother Nee, consider them Philadelphia. Philadelphia, read the book, The Orthodoxy of the Church, Philadelphia. That's a very, very high regard for the Brethren. In fact, indeed, one day they were Philadelphia. But today, actually for a long time now, what are they? They've become Laodicea. And I like to use one word that would be quite descriptive. And that is this once upon a time, very impactful testimony of the Lord. This great, I just borrowed this word for the time being, this great movement that the Lord has raised up. For over a century now has become totally irrelevant. The truth are still there that the Lord recovered through them. But as far as a testimony of the Lord, they have become irrelevant. Brothers, we should not be so comfortable. Same thing can happen to us. While the truth that the Lord has given to us through this wonderful ministry of the age, which was with the Brethren at one time, is just high and deep and rich and to the uttermost. But my question is, what about the testimony? Not the ministry, the testimony. Are we happy with it? Are we satisfied with it? Are we really relevant? Brothers, we must take the eyes of ourselves and not be so easily contented. The Lord needs a much stronger testimony of himself and of his recovery in the USA. And so here we are, after 21 years of parentheses, I see the need for us to pick up, so to speak, where we left off. When Brother Lee passed away, he had a dream to bring us into a revival, that we would have a great and final revival. He was hoping that the high peak of the divine revelation can be worked out and applied. He was hoping that the corporate God-man living would be our lives. He was hoping that the God-ordained way will be carried out to build up the body. But brothers, look at our churches, look at our saints. Now, I don't say all of this to be critical or to be pessimistic, but we need to take stock. We need to be honest with where we are. Otherwise, we will not change. We will not do something about it. I say again, the truth among us is rich to the uttermost. But the outworking, the practice of the Lord's testimony does not match that. And it may be that we become irrelevant. So, brothers, we need to do something. We need to do something. Now, in these past 5 years in Northern California, the Lord has blessed us, I must say. through the prayers of the saints, through the labor of the saints, of the co-workers, the Lord has done something. To bring us into one accord. Now we're one church in Northern California. The Lord has done a lot. But I think you agree with me. We cannot be happy. I would say the Lord has brought us back to ground zero. Maybe a little bit more than ground zero. I like to propose or suggest, dear brothers, that we should look forward to the next 5 years. To what? To begin to move, to begin to work out this God-ordained way, to begin to propagate, to gain the increase, to begin to work with aggressiveness, with faith, with boldness, to bring in the increase and the growth all over Northern California. Many more saints in the church life, not just 2,500 or 3,000, but double that. I'm not saying we'll double in 5 years, but it depends how we work. And we need more training. We need not only to work hard, we need to work smart. And these coming 5 years, I would like to say, is our direction. Thank the Lord, we have new elders now. We have more responsible brothers now. All of that. But that is just so that we have a container, a base, a receptacle. But now we need to go forward. Next month, we're going to have a Core Saints Fellowship for one day on the 17th or something. You know what is in my heart, brothers? In my heart is the Lord would bring those saints who still have this kind of burden in their hearts, and the Lord would raise us all up as an army. As an army. You know, a country, not everyone is in the army. A fraction are. But this army is what is going to take this country forward, to fight the battle, to keep the peace. So I hope, I pray, and I hope you can join in this prayer, especially for your locality and for your church. Lord, in every church, raise up an army of saints. Now, these are not elite. These are not some special group of saints, you know, with higher standing. No, we're all the same. We're all just brothers and sisters. But we do need an army to rise up, to really, really practice the God-ordained way, to have the vital group living, and to have a change, to effect a change in our church life, the way we meet. You know, our church life today may be comfortable to us, but it's almost like New Jerusalem with high walls, but no gates. It's good in protecting and keeping for defense, riches in it. But there's no gate for people to come in. You know, I was thinking about New Jerusalem. 3 gates on each side, 12 gates in all. You know, why not there's only one gate? Why not does not New Jerusalem has only one gate? Because it is God's heart that there will be many gates for many people to come in from all 4 directions of the earth. And the word at the end, the cry, the call at the end of Revelation is whosoever will. Whosoever. Now, if we have only one gate, it's not enough for all the whosoevers. So there needs to be 12. 12 means what? 12 means something according to God's administration, 3 times 4. And it says also in that chapter, the last chapter of Revelation, that they can what? Blessed are those who wash their robes, am I right? That they can what? Come through the gates into the city. We need to rebuild a church life that has high walls, but full of gates, so that all kinds of people can come in, students, campus, the Caucasians, the Hispanic, the African-Americans, all ethnicities, go to the nations, the ethnos, the people, people in the community. So now I come back to this word, propagation. And I don't know what is your definition of propagation. I'll tell you Webster's dictionary of propagation. That is not just a word about publicizing, disseminating some ideas or some truth. You know, when we say we need to propagate, you know. No. There's that meaning. But the primary original meaning of propagation is an organic multiplication. The apple tree propagates. The vine tree propagates. In fact, grafting, you know, is to propagate. The apple tree is grafted to propagate. It is like in Genesis 1, God blessed the man he created that he would multiply and replenish the earth. That's propagation. So Acts is a book on propagation. So meaning what? Meaning, if you can have in your mind, the vine tree in John 15, which God the Father the husbandman planted, not just to plant it, but so that this single universal vine tree would spread and propagate and multiply through branches, so that it would be laden with fruit all over the place. I will tell you, brothers, when there is this kind of propagation, this kind of fruit bearing, you don't need to say much. People have eyes. They would be subdued. They would say, something is happening here. You don't even need to proclaim we have a revival here or this and that. Just by the abundance of fruit and spreading and growth and propagation in your church, in our area. That's a sign. In the Old Testament, whenever revival is talked about, it always talks about springs gushing forth, rivers flowing in desert land, plants growing, abundance of fruit, harvest, everything is green and flowering. That is a sign. Wherever this river comes out of the house, everything lives. Sea are healed. There's fish. There's cattle. There's lambs. There are trees. That's a sign of revival, brothers. Oh, I tell you, my heart is just burning, aching to see this happen in the United States, in Northern California. Brothers, maybe some of us don't believe it because we don't have that kind of faith anymore. I like to tell you, brothers, have faith. Jehovah's word to Moses and Joshua, be very courageous. Because this land has been given to you. Go take it. Go possess it. I like to stir you all up, leading brothers, responsible brothers. not just have a good church life or a happy church life, but to have a revived church life, impactful church life, full of morale, full of new ones, full of increase, full of vitality, full of fruit. Oh, brothers, we must not say Northern California is not that kind of place. I will tell you, absolutely it is. We just received some pictures about they don't even have a team in Stanford, in Palo Alto. And now in their welcome week, they have 40, 50 new ones, students, Stanford new ones, Stanford kids. And a good number of them, they're not all Asians there. They're Caucasians, they are Indians, they are blacks, top-notch young people. We need to raise up a team there. We're burdened for Fresno, for Clovis, next year GTCA, full of Hispanic young people there. It's time we raise up a model of gaining lots and lots of Hispanic young people, bilingual, not the old wetbacks. They're literate. They're purposeful. They're ambitious. We want to gain them. We want to gain these key ones for the Lord's recovery, for the future leadership and pillars in the Lord's recovery. We're going to go to East Bay. We're going to go back to Hayward, Cal State, to gain the kids there. We're going to go to the workplaces, the community, our parks, our neighborhoods. Brothers, it's time. We cannot be in our church life just mutually congratulating how good the truth we have, how wonderful a church life is. And yet, meantime, we're losing relevance. My heart is not only beating, but bursting. Because I know this is Brother Lee's burden. This is the Lord's burden. It's time for the USA. It's time for Northern California. It's time, brothers. That's why he raised you up. That's why you're leaders. Not just to perpetuate a routine church life. A traditional church life. I expect that we're going to have some changes, even some that you may consider radical. We need to find ways. We need to open gates. No, we're not going to play gimmicks. We're not going to bring in the rock bands. We're not going to do fleshly and, you know, religious things. No way. We'll take the way of the Spirit, the Word, and prayer and love. But we will bring them in. I like to see rather the Lord's recovery like a sleeping giant waking up. So this morning, I use this time to charge you. I like to charge you, brothers. All the blessing that the Lord has given us, our families, our situation, is for his purpose, for his interest, not just for our enjoyment. So three things we need. Okay, I'm including. Or a battle for God's kingdom to propagate it in this country, in Northern Cal. Number one, we need an army. We need an army. But we need the support of the whole nation, of all the citizens. But we need an army to take the lead, to be the spearhead. I hope many saints will come. I hope there will be 700-800 brothers and sisters who will come November 17. I'm issuing a call. Old, young, does not matter what age. It says in Numbers, Those from 20 years old and upward can fight. And there's no ceiling. There's no upper limit. So that a Joshua, a Caleb, can still fight when they're in their 80s. The retirees, the young people, the college age, as long as they have this heart within them, come. Come be this army. And we're going to take action. So for an army, the two main things, number one, that they are fed well, that this army, these saints would eat well. The word, the Lord, they're fed, they're supplied. Number two, they would know what? They would be trained and equipped to fight. So we need more training with this group of saints to do this fighting, specifically in the realm of propagation. Then the second thing besides the army is we need the weapons. We need the weapons. We need an arsenal of weapons. Thank the Lord. We actually have a lot of weapons. The truth that we have, the word that we have. But it's one thing to have these weapons, another thing to know how to use them, how to fire them. I would like to say that today, even though we're filled with these truths, many saints don't know how to use them. Sometimes they misuse them. Sometimes we boil the kid in the mother's milk. Sometimes we give them too much. Many new ones today, they hardly know the Bible, even Christians. We cannot drown them with a high truth. We need to learn the skill, how to fire these weapons, how to gradually lead them according to a proper pace, how to use the proper terminologies, how to conduct ourselves, how to build a staircase for them to go up to where we are, how to come down as God did to be with the sinners and tax collectors and prostitutes, how to be with man, how to become a man so that they can become God, brothers. The problem with us are not the truth, we're short of truth, but the way to reach people, the way that they can come in. We need to consider the way we meet. We need to have meetings that will be attractive to new ones and not weird to the new ones. Our home meetings, it cannot just be kind of routine, just we coming together and read something, some book. In Acts chapter 5, it says, and they from house to house, day to day, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ as the gospel. The vital group has one purpose, and that is to bear fruit. Our home meetings should be shepherd's tents to feed and perfect these young lambs. I'll tell you why a lot of our home meetings, group meetings, are kind of dead, because there are no new ones. It's just you and me celebrating how rich we are. If I just put a few new ones in your home, your meeting will immediately be alive. There's a lot to learn, brothers, a lot to change. And don't be afraid of change. You know, in a business, when you're not making money, you better change. We talk about Sears Roebuck. You know, Sears Roebuck just declared bankruptcy a week ago. Sears Roebuck, it was the epitome, right, of U.S. retail from the last century. The catalog sales, powerful. They built the tallest building. It's no longer called Sears Roebuck Building, but it was called Sears Roebuck Building. Once upon a time, the tallest building on the earth. Alas, it went bankrupt last week. Because why? Because everyone is going to Amazon. Now Amazon is the first $1 trillion company. You don't need to go to Sears Roebuck. And a number of other retailers like Sears Roebuck, it just all shuttered, irrelevant, because they don't go with the times. Brothers, the world is round. You will never change that. But how you travel from point A to point B, you can still go by an ox cart or a Model T Ford, or you can go on a 787. The way we travel with the technological advances, with all the conveniences, brothers, we need to reconsider our ways in Haggai. Reconsider our ways. I'm not saying we become worldly, and you know what I mean. You know, I'm not for that. But brothers, we need to change. We need to find a way, because the way we have our church life, we're not gaining people. Brothers, I'm just pressed, I'm just bursting, I'm a bit crazy. Brothers, that was Brother Lee's heart. That was the burden. This is the need today. I'll tell you, this is the need today. Forget the past. Forget, oh, we tried this, we tried that. Even that, we need grace to erase from our memory. Let's go on today. I say again, thank the Lord for the last 5 years. Let's look forward to the next five. I believe the Lord will be doing something. Everyone loves the Golden State Warriors. Am I right? You know what I'm saying? Why? I hate the look of the uniform, you know? They're winning games. They're winning championships. Something, they're doing something right. Brothers, that's how the church life should be. That's how the Lord's recovery should be. It should win games. It should be successful. Brother used this word successful, not for our glory, okay? Not for our fame, not for our gratification, but for the Lord's interests. We should make a success. And the people are open. I'll tell you, USA is open right now. From the campus on up, they're open. I'm even burdened for the high schools. Let's not be so small. Let's not be so small. On the other hand, we should not just dream big, just dream big. That's just a dream. Let's work it out step by step. Now, the last thing I will end here, besides an army, besides the weapons, right? The last thing is we need the strategy. We need the strategy. And so today, our strategy, number one, is we need to focus on the USA or refocus. You know, the Lord has taken Germany. You know, right now they have 650 saints in Germany. They're on their way. It's time for us to take care of the home front. We're not quite on our way yet. Number two, we need to focus on gaining the majority of the local people. I'm a Chinese. I'm for Chinese. I'm an Asian, but we're 5% or less of the USA population. We need to gain more local, typical Americans. We're not driven by color. We're not driven by race. You know, actually, I'll tell you, brothers, there's only one race in God's eyes. That's the human race. Actually, I shouldn't say that. I say the Adamic race, the fallen race. And out of that, the Lord called the Jewish race, the Israel race, the called race. So really, today, there's only two races, the called race and the uncalled race. The uncalled being the nations. So whatever color we're in, yellow, white, we're all the same race. It's called the Adamic race, the fallen human race. So the Lord today is after gaining the Jews, the core race, and the Lord is after gaining the Gentiles. And these two will form the one new man. My brothers, in the USA, to have a proper representation of the Lord in his testimony, we need the local people. We go to India after 55 years, we raise up a church full of Americans, I would say we're not that successful. Where are the Indians? Where are the locals? We are a local testimony. We need to gain them. And we cannot say we cannot gain them. We better retool and change ourselves. Like Paul said, to the Jew, I became as a Jew. To those under the law, I became as one under the law. To be those who became out of the law, I become as one who is outside of the law. He even said this, listen to this. He said, I'm a free man, but I enslave myself to the sinners in this way so that I can gain them. Brothers, we need to consider how we can gain people by becoming as them. Paul was once a Jew, but then here he says, I'm not a Jew, but I'm going to become a Jew again. Of course, that doesn't mean he's going back to all the Jewish stuff, but he does mean that in order to gain a Jew, you better be as a Jew, like a Jew. So you can associate with them, like God becoming a man. If God never become a man, he can never save us. That's what it means. So, and thirdly, we're going to concentrate in this country, in the heartland of America, the broad heartland of America. If we don't gain the heartland, including the Bible Belt, the Midwest, and so forth, we have not gained this country yet. But what about the coasts where we are? We're not abandoning the coasts. There's still a lot of population there, including where we are in Northern California. Let's go and gain them. They're waiting for the right people with a seeking and shepherding spirit of Jesus, the shepherd, and with a loving and receiving heart of the Father for the prodigal. The last training of the vital group is on shepherding. To gain people. So, we'll just leave you with that thought. An army, the weapons, and a strategy. Let's pray for this November 17, my brothers, and you take the lead. to come, and you burden the saints in this way. This is not to stir up a movement, okay? Not just a movement. We're not getting ready for a skirmish. War, which we should fight. All right. It's now 12 o'clock. I think I will just rest here and we all take a break of about 15 minutes. If we can come back, then we'll cover the three lessons for November. And also, I'd like to say something about the conference center that we're acquiring. Amen.